Lights, camera, action.
Have you ever wondered why some movies resonate with you more than others? That is the power of storytelling. Listen to today's episode to learn how to tell stories more effectively so people relate with your brand and your story. Bosses, are you working even after putting the kids to bed but still not getting results?
Are you tired of spending money on ads that aren't getting engagement?
Do you feel burdened that you aren't fulfilling your purpose in life because you are so consumed with work?
I'm your host, Brooke Boltz. I'm an attorney and founder of Boltz Legal. I started my business and in 1 year was bringing in seven figures and am now bringing in multi seven figures.
And I'm your co-host, Rachel Boltz, owner of Boltz Media. I've helped many businesses build their online presence and increase their revenue through digital marketing.
Want to hear how we did it?
We are here to help you achieve your goals personally, professionally, and spiritually.
So kick off your high heels, sit back, and let's ignite that passion.
We're Miss Biz, where we're putting the miss in biz.
Let's get biz done. Movies are just stories, and people spend billions of dollars a year cumulatively to watch movies. What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, it really all depends on the mood that I'm in. But generally speaking, I love comedy movies. So my favorite movie probably is Step Brothers.
Nice. My favorite movie, I love comedies too, but they don't usually rise to the level of being like my favorite. So my favorite is Hunger Games.
Why the Hunger Games?
Because I really like Katniss Everdeen. I think I put myself in her shoes and want to be a kind of figure like she is. She's very strong. She's very genuine. She's kind of an underdog in that people don't expect her to be a winner of anything. She works hard. She sacrifices for her family. And she's just a really strong female heroine in the series, and I just think I want to be like her.
Yeah, I mean, storytelling when done effectively, that's what makes a movie good. That's what makes marketing good. Whenever you can identify with, in some type of way, the message that is being conveyed. And in the Bible, Jesus used parables a lot to illustrate very specific points that he wanted to make. In one instance, he talked about how the seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When troubling or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Whereas the seed falling on the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus used parables and stories a lot to convey very specific messages that he wanted others to receive.
So storytelling is important in your business, not only in public speaking, we've talked about it in that context before, but even in your face-to-face one-on-one meetings. Telling a story conveys the type of person you are. It conveys a lot of attributes and characteristics that you possess without having to directly tell them, I am smart, I am responsible, I am trustworthy. You can tell stories that can convey that in a more memorable and effective way than just sitting down and telling people, I'm really good at my job.
We've identified 5 keys to a strong story. And the first one is emotion. So a compelling story, it'll evoke an emotional response. This can be laughter. This can be empowerment. This can be excitement, suspense, and things of that nature. So a good story is going to help bring whoever is listening or reading or receiving the message, bring them into the picture and make them feel like they're part of it.
And these 5 keys to a strong story come from the book called Unleash the Power of Storytelling by Beisenbach. So the second element of a strong story is that the story should have a face, meaning a main character. People do not remember percentages and statistics, but they will feel a kinship with the character that personifies the issue. Just in the same way that I feel a kinship or a kindred spirit with Katniss Everdeen in The Hunger Games is the goal of telling a story. And the face behind your story when you are talking about yourself and your business, it's gonna be you. And that also relates to social media. We've talked about this before too, that telling a story through your social media or showing your own face, being present in your business is going to get more engagement and be more interesting to people than stock footage would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's statistically proven as well. Any pictures of you, videos of you as the business owner is going to outperform any stock footage or video 10 out of 10. The third aspect is that the stories should connect your listeners with each other and your brand. So stories, they make us more human, and they should remind people of who they are. When there is humanity, there is a story, and it resonates with the audience. So one of my favorite commercials that Brooke has shot for Bolds Legal is one where this child is at the park, and another kid is trying to get her to eat, like, these little, they're not food, but they're like little gel circular things. And
water beads.
Thank you. And so this kid's trying to get her to eat it, and she's thinking about it, and she's getting ready to do it. And then real Brooke pops in, and she stops the little girl, who is little Brooke, you come to find out. And she says, "No, Brooke, don't eat those. Those aren't good." And then it's just very... the way that it was all put together, it makes you feel a strong connection, and it gives you a sense of empowerment. There's a little bit of humor in there. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it really showcases her ability to protect her clients as well. It shows a lot about her personality in there. And anytime that you can do that with your videos or anything that you're using in terms of marketing yourself is really going to be A+ for your business.
And that brings to mind that same video that is Rachel's all-time favorite commercial we've done is my husband's least favorite commercial. He can't stand it. I don't know.
Is that because he was in it?
He wasn't in that one.
Oh, okay.
He was in a couple of my commercials. He was in a couple of them, surprisingly. It's not in his comfort zone at all, but he was in a couple. But that particular one, I don't think he was in. It was the playground scene with the younger kids. But he did not like that one. So it's just an example, too, that not everybody is going to resonate with every story that you tell. And you should kind of customize the story based on the message you're trying to portray to that specific audience.
Yes, so the fourth aspect is that stories should reiterate the importance of values such as love and care, and they should temporarily distract people from their routine existence. So have you ever just kind of sat down on the couch and watched a movie and just kind of forgot about everything that was going on at the moment, like any sort of pressing deadline that you might have the next day, any big project, that story is able to take you away from there and give you a emotional reprieve because you're not fixating on whatever the issue is.
I think that's why video games are so popular too, is that people engage in the story of the game and who their character is, and they're building their character and they're identifying and relating to this alternative avatar that they've created. And so they really, really love it. I mean, my kids play Roblox and they've been building these characters for years. And so if something were to happen to that character,
oh man, they would go insane.
It'd be meltdown central.
Yes.
So, but it really comes down to the power of the story and how they have put themselves into the story of the game.
Yeah.
So next in your story is that you want to show, not tell. This is like the Match.com syndrome, where people go on and they describe themselves in their description and they say things like, I'm adventurous and I'm smart, but how much do you believe that when you're scrolling through Match.com? Of course, people are going to say great things about themselves when they are portraying themselves to the dating world. And so what would be more effective and more persuasive and more convincing about their character traits is to share photos, for example, of you whitewater rafting, or share the impressions of the last book you read. That would convey your intelligence more, or the photo of the whitewater rafting would convey your adventurous spirit more than just saying, I am adventurous and I am smart.
I agree with that. I mean, you can only believe what you hear so much, but actually being able to see it in action is going to really drive the point home and make you trustworthy and believable. Whenever I see stuff like that, like I run 5 miles a day and drink 18 cups of coffee or whatever the case may be, like I don't really necessarily, it's not that I disbelieve it, but is this who this person is every single day, or is this when they were on vacation in Cancun one time 25 years ago? So, right. So stories, they are so important, and everybody has a story, and it's important to take some time to be introspective and reflect and think about what are some of the key determining factors that have developed your story. What major experiences made you who you are today? So I know for me, I had people in my life who were not the most motivated, not the most healthy, and I really had a fear of becoming like that. I did not want to be a failure at all. So as a result, I essentially overcompensated. So I was very strict into fitness. I remember being 9 years old and doing at least 100 crunches a day, and really trying to be fit because I did not want to be unhealthy or overweight. And the same thing came in terms of my academics. I did not really have a solid academic upbringing in my elementary years, but I did have some help as I got older, and I realized that I did not want to be stuck in reverse. So I took it upon myself to learn as much as possible and tried to make up for everything that I missed. So I had a lot of self-drive because of that fear of failure. And as a result, I actually started college at a very young age. I was 14 years old, and I was very ambitious and tried to get as much done as possible so that I could really set myself up for success. So that's a little part of my story.
And in sharing that story, it does convey character traits about you that you want people to understand about yourself when they're contemplating whether to work with you or not. That story shares that you are a person who identifies what you don't want to be, and that that motivates you to become what you do want to be. And not everyone can do that. I mean, how often do we say to ourselves, I don't want to eat any sugar, or I do want to go to the gym, or I mean, there's just all kinds of examples of things in life where we mentally want to do those things, but we don't actually follow through and do them. So what stands out to me about your story is not only did you not want to be like those not so great examples in your life, but that you had the discipline and the determination to see it through. You did not become unhealthy. You became educated and intelligent, and you overcame the obstacles that were against you. And having that trait as a young person now will carry through with you to adulthood, so that now when you set your mind to something that you do want to be, you can become like that person you want to be, because you've been doing it since you were very young. It is a part of who you are now. You've been evolving in positive ways for your entire life.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about my 20s because I digressed a little bit in my 20s, but no longer there. And for that, I'm very grateful. But, you know, it does help too, having mentors there. I know my faith shaped a lot of who I am and gave me hope and really gave me the tools that I needed to be able to get through that tough period of time. If you enjoy the Miss Biz podcast but still have questions or need advice, we have some exciting news for you. Join us for Miss Biz Connects. Miss Biz Connects is a weekly 1-hour Zoom call on Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is 1 hour each week dedicated to you. We want to meet you and put our brains together to help you grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
To access the meeting link, visit us on our social media pages at Miss Biz Podcast, or send us an email to missbizpod@gmail.com.
Join us this Friday and let's grow the Miss Biz Nation. Sharing your story too allows you to be vulnerable with your whoever you're speaking with, which in turn allows them to feel comfortable being vulnerable and really putting that guard down and being vulnerable with each other really is what builds a stronger bond in your relationship. You know, I'm a part of a number of networking groups, and there's one Christian networking group that I'm a part of that we just had the meeting yesterday, so it's fresh on my mind, where someone was just very vulnerable and said, look, I've been in a dark place in the last few months, and she really didn't have an explanation for why, other than it was just really hard for her to get up and go through the motions every day. She's actually an incredibly successful entrepreneur. She's someone who is always smiling. I have known her during this time period that she was struggling, and I had no idea. She's the person who MCs events all the time because she is this bright, shining wow. personality. And I never would have had any idea, and because she knows so well how to portray herself, even though internally she was struggling. But by her sharing that vulnerability in the small group setting, as we went around the room and people started to share, people's wall was just down. They were all relating to her. Either many people in the room were going through it right now where they are struggling, or they have gone through it very recently. And so they were sharing ways that each of them have gotten through that tough time. So by her just having the courage to share where she was at, and she's also in a leadership role in this group, so it's not easy to tell everybody that you're struggling in this way, but she did it. She had the courage, she did it, and it just took the walls down to where so many people started sharing vulnerable things about themselves that they never would have done otherwise. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the meeting, we all felt like we were best friends and, you know, just, it just created a very strong connection between the small group of people who were there. And it just really is a testimony to the power of telling your story. And this is the kind of thing that you should be doing all the time in your business settings, whether it's face-to-face meetings, whether it's speaking engagements, whether it's on a podcast or on your social media videos, wherever it is, telling a story is powerful.
And that's why a lot of people that you see that have been part of like a really traumatic event, like a big kidnapping or human trafficking or even like some really big cases of abuse, a lot of them, when they come out of that as survivors, they end up writing books, they end up starting nonprofits, they end up being motivational speakers. Because even though obviously that's probably the most uncomfortable thing in the world for them to talk about is the significant trauma that they've been through, they know that their story is going to not only help prevent these things from happening to other people, but also help inspire and motivate people who have been through very similar situations and circumstances. So your story is extremely powerful, and there's only you with one story.
Right. And that's a great reminder too, that you're the only person with your exact story. You're the only you. And so sometimes when people think about, well, I don't know what really makes me different. I don't know what really makes me unique. I don't really know what the unique value proposition is of my business. Well, it's you. No one else has your story, and your story can and will resonate with people, not everyone, like I said, but with the people who are your, just who have a similar story or who identify with some part of your story. So every story starts with a goal. It's kind of like writing it backwards. You don't sit down and just start writing a story without your intent of what the messages you're trying to relay. And it'll be a different story depending on who you're speaking with. I know when I gave a presentation on when I was presenting my All About That Case video for the first time, which is a musical parody music video that we created, I wanted to tell a story about myself of a time in my profession where I had done something outside of the box. And so I sat and thought, what's a good example of that? Came up with the right story and added that into my speech. But if you're meeting with someone face to face and you're really just wanting to convey that you're a hard worker and you're trustworthy, well, then you might tell a story like what Rachel just told about how you overcame obstacles as a child. Your story is going to vary based on what your goal is. What message are you trying to convey? And so the goal is really where you start. And don't start your story by telling them this is a story.
Oh, come on. That's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know?
This is a story all about
how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
So unless you're seeing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you don't want to start with, I'm about to tell you a story about, you don't want to give them a heads up. You just dive in and start telling the story.
I agree 100%. And your character should be close and understandable to the audience and share their values and humanity. So we've talked about this a lot, where if you want your message to be received, the person who is listening or on the other end of the conversation, they need to be able to understand what you're saying. So it has to be something that's relatable, understandable, and it has to align in with who they are. If they are a younger generation crowd, you're not going to speak to them the same way or tell your story the same way as you are if you're talking to someone who's elderly. It's going to be the same story, but it's going to be altered in a way that is going to be best for that person or those persons.
So if you think about your favorite movie, think about why it's your favorite movie. Chances are there's a character in that movie that you really resonate or relate to. resonate with or relate to. But in addition to the character, there's probably a conflict, which is the second part of creating your story that you want to look to. Have you thought about the conflict? Conflict is the tension between your character's goal and the obstacles in their path. For example, you can tell a story about how your team faced a situation that they did not anticipate in the plan. And that is the story of my favorite movie. There's a character who I relate to, and then she faces a conflict, a major conflict, and then she overcomes that conflict. So that should be the next part of your story, is what is this conflict? In Rachel's story, she shared about the conflict was her identity. And is she going to follow into the steps of these people who she's observing? Or is she going to differentiate herself and be different? And so identifying that conflict is the next part of it. And this is also an interview question. I know when I've gone on interviews places before, they've asked me, what's an example of a conflict and how you overcame it? So coming up with this story can have multiple applications, even being interviewed. If you're self-employed, it could be being interviewed for some type of award or some type of recognition where this is a common interview question.
When you're telling your story or writing your story down, one thing to consider are the stakes high enough? The problem in your story should be serious. You should be striving for more. So for example, with my story, you know, the seriousness was dealing with failure or being extremely unhealthy. And I knew that that was not what I wanted for my life.
And the trajectory of your whole life. I mean, had you not had that drive to educate yourself, then you, and to do well in school, then you very well may have not realized the levels of success that you have now, and your life may have been very different because of that.
Oh, I believe that 100%. And so you have to think about, when you're trying to put your story together, what was the high-stake situation that had a significant turning point in your life and made you who you are today?
This is, again, about being vulnerable. You want to tell a story about a true high-stakes challenge that you faced in your life. It might not be comfortable, but if it's in an appropriate setting and there's a recipient on the other side of it who is interested in hearing your story, it is a great way to just let the guards down. And so
I think when we're being vulnerable too, we automatically think everybody's going to judge me. They're going to look at me different. You know, we always go to the worst spot possible. But I feel from my experience that most of the time, people really appreciate it because they understand that it's not comfortable to be vulnerable and to talk about any shortcomings or weaknesses that you may have had or traumas that you had been through. But I feel like most people appreciate it. And like you had mentioned so beautifully earlier, that it really helps to strengthen that bond.
Also, it helps with memorability of your story. Mm-hmm. If your conflict that you chose isn't high enough stakes and it's just talking about the time that your pen broke and you had to find another one in your purse, like that's not a high enough stakes conflict. It's not going to be memorable and it's just not going to be impactful. Think about if you're someone that's interviewing a candidate and they give you an example of a conflict that just isn't a big deal. It's not going to be impressive. It may not cause you to want to hire that person. So just needs to be high stakes conflict. You don't wanna be whack.
Cuckoo.
We will cut you some slack.
We got you.
You just wanna make a big stack.
Ballin'.
Listen to our biz hack.
Are you tired of people tagging you in Cash App scams or weight loss products that you don't use? If so, today's biz hack is for you. On the mobile device, go to Facebook and tap your profile picture in the top right corner. Go to Settings and Privacy and select Settings. Scroll down to Audience and Visibility and select Profile and Tagging. Scroll down to Tagging. You can either turn tagging off completely or you can go to the reviewing section below. The reviewing section gives you the option to review tags people add to your posts before the tags appear on Facebook and the option to review posts you're tagged in before the posts appear on your profile. Say goodbye to spam without resorting to blocking.
Next is there a clear cause and effect? The events must be linked and lead to some consequences. So you have to have this, then that. It has to be a direct link. And this is also just staying on topic. Don't stray away from the topic. Don't go off on rabbit trails. A story is like a tree. It can have many branches, but it has to still lead back to the root. Everything has to be connected. So every tangent you may go on has to still be intentional, that it's getting back to your root goal that you're trying to accomplish with your story.
That is so important, because it's very easy when you go on one of those branches to go off into Never Never Land. But you got to remember, when you go off into Never Never Land, you got to come full circle. Otherwise, all of the building that you are doing and leaving the person in anticipation, it's going to get lost, and the person's not going to understand the point that you are trying to make.
Right. And you don't have to document every turning point. Pick one and focus on it. Use your details wisely. Define the setting. Use sensory details. Limit the use of dates. Omit proper nouns. So these are just general storytelling techniques. Using sensory details, I think, is important. Things that are sight, hearing, you know, just all the different, the five senses, using details that they can relate to and really envision and feel as if they are in your story is going to make it more impactful and memorable.
That's how I can tell if it's a good book. If I'm reading and I can visualize everything that the book is describing, and it's almost like I'm right there in the tropical rainforest, like that's how I know it is a good story. So you'll want to make sure that you're giving a lot of detail to put whoever is listening to your story in it. The other thing to add on is, is your story emotional enough? The more feelings that you give your audience, the more that they'll want to continue interacting with the story.
So when you're giving a presentation, you want to start and end the presentation with a story. And a good rule of thumb is if you can, your ending story is a continuation from the beginning story. So in other words, you start with the story, but you don't give the full ending. You then go into the rest of your presentation, and then at the end, you circle back and tie up any loose ends from the beginning story. It just makes the presentation feel complete, feel full circle, and if they walk away from it, chances are, if nothing else, they're going to remember that story because you left them with a cliffhanger and then you resolved it at the end. So my story is very much motivated by people not believing in me or not thinking that I could do something. You know, there's a saying out there that is, what is it? It's something like, if you want me to accomplish something, tell me that I can't. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone tells me that I can't, that's a really strong motivator for me. So when I was in elementary school in first grade, it was the first time this happened, my teacher recommended me for the gifted program. I always did well in school. I was always a high achiever. And so she recommended me for Gifted. And to get into the Gifted program, you have to take a test, which is essentially an IQ test. And in first grade, I did not pass the IQ test. And at that point, I think I was too young to really fully realize the rejection or the failure of that test. But 2 years later in third grade, my teacher at that time recommended me again. And so, but the same thing happened. But this time I was a little older. I understood the significance of it. I had friends who were in the Gifted program. They got kind of special treatment in some ways. And certain days of the week, they got to go do fun projects and just do different things that the rest of the class didn't get to do. And I got to see them go off and do these things. And so I very much wanted to be a part of that. I knew that it was something for the smart kids. And I very much wanted to be in the Gifted program. But again, I didn't pass the IQ test. And so this time I was crushed by it. I just, it was probably the greatest disappointment I had at that point in my life. And just, it was just a really, really impactful failure in my life at that age. And so for the next several years, the rest of my school career, really, I had this internal drive to prove that I was good enough. And I just worked so hard to do well in school, so hard to achieve in every way. I joined every club that they offered in the high school. Some of that motivation was I wanted to get a college scholarship. My parents, I knew, didn't have any funds to be able to help me through college. And so I wanted to try to earn an academic scholarship. And so I just made school really a very high priority in my life. And that drove me to achieve. And I was very much determined to prove that I was good enough, even though I wasn't capable of being gifted.
Well, that's very inspiring and shows a lot about your character as well, how you never gave up. No matter what, even if the answer wasn't necessarily the one that you wanted, you never gave up and you always had that motivation and determination to get where you wanted to go because you could see the long-term vision. So that's...
Thank you. And it also, as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing there's kind of a parallel between my business now. When I started my law firm, I've told this story before, and if you haven't heard it, you can listen to episode one. I started it in a way that was unexpected. I didn't have a plan or finances or anything in place to do that. And the people who I had worked with in the past were very, they were very cynical and critical and thought there's no chance that I would be successful. They thought that it was a mistake for me to have left my comfortable job where I had worked my way up for all those years. And many people, I remember seeing one of my former partners and he goes, "Brooke, why did you leave? Why would you do that? It would, like, if you just didn't leave, then you were doing so well." And he was like grieving for me because he thought that my life was gonna be downhill from that point, having left that job. And I just was so motivated by that to prove them wrong. Mm-hmm. To prove them wrong and to show that I was capable of doing more than what they expected of me, and even more than what I would have accomplished had I stayed at that firm and not left.
You know we're all about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case.
At Bolts Legal, we are all about your case. Text or call to schedule a free consultation for all your legal needs. BoltsLegal.com.
Isn't that such a good feeling when you can prove someone wrong? Like,
I don't know that it's a biblical principle.
I know. But it's very motivating. It is extremely motivating to be told that you can't do something. That just makes me want to work 3 times, 4 times, 10 times as hard, because I'm competitive, and I know you are too. So when somebody like tests us like that in that regard, then it's game on.
It reminds me of some of those stories that I've seen on TV where there's like an obese woman whose spouse leaves her because she's not pretty enough, or she let herself go and she gained weight, and then she goes and gets like super fit and turns into this like gorgeous girl, and then she comes back and is like, haha, look what you're missing out on. And I've thought about, it's probably not the right mindset to have from a biblical perspective to wanting to prove people wrong, but it's super motivating for me. Yes. If someone tells me I can't do something, then game on.
Yes. And just for clarification purposes, the intent is not to be spiteful or I told you so. The intent really is, well, watch me. You're not in control of my life. God is in control of my destiny. And I believe that he is for me, not against me. And I'm going to go ahead and do it. So I just wanted to clarify that it's not like an evil, it should not be a
revengeful,
yes,
vengeful or revenge.
Yes, the motives of the heart should stay pure.
So if you're thinking that you don't know where the right setting is to do these type of stories, I think you can do them in any conversation, frankly, but a good example is if you think of like how you would give a toast at a wedding. You don't want to go up and give a toast at a wedding and talk for 40 minutes, right? You want to keep it fairly brief. And that's kind of how your stories should be when you're in a one-on-one setting as well. And to put that toast together to be effective, you want to use the rule of three. First is describe the person who's getting married, the person that you're toasting, and find three specific words that accurately emphasize their personality. Then you back it up with a story that reveals one of those three outstanding qualities. So if I say, Rachel is beautiful, smart, and funny, then my story is going to take one of those three attributes and tell a story about it. So if I take a story of her being funny, I could just tell one of the many stories of how she makes me laugh, or she does funny and quirky things like her dance moves. She has been compared to Seinfeld's...
Oh, Elaine.
Elaine's dance, yes, moves on Seinfeld. Has been described to has been a comparison of Rachel's dance moves. So that is how you can tell a story that backs up one of the qualities. And then you want to go through and throw out any unnecessary details. Sometimes we want to be too detailed and it just doesn't really add anything new to the story, and it loses listeners if you go too long. So keep the important ones, throw away the unnecessary details, keep track of time, and speak from the heart. If you follow those principles of telling a story, then you will knock it out of the park.
Well, we hope you found this helpful. If you have any additional tips or even want to share your story, please email us at missbizpod podcast@gmail.com.
Psalms 143:8. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you.
We appreciate you and are honored to be on this journey with you. We can't wait to help you, to encourage you, and show you how to grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
If you found Miss Biz helpful, please leave a review and share with others.
You can follow us on social media at Miss Biz Podcast.
For legal questions or services, please visit boltslegal.com.
And for digital marketing needs, please visit boltsmedia.com. Let's get biz done.